Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hi.
Hey. This is the first.
This is a bonus episode. Good morning. Welcome to good morning because right now it is
It's 8:38. I can see the clock.
Thank you. I can't. 8:38 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Bethany Watson. Across from me sits
Dennis Callow.
And this is a bonus episode of An Acquired Taste. Here's what's going on. I'm gonna paint a picture for you, gentle listener. I am wearing a tank top and underwear. Dennis is wearing no
a tank top and underwear.
No shirt, just pants. We're both drinking coffee. It's Saturday morning. And Kathleen is on vacation.
Yes.
And
well deserved.
Yeah. And we were going to record from a hotel room, from her hotel room, and it was going to be our first time not being in the same room when we recorded. But there were some technical difficulties by way of Kathleen forgot to bring her microphone. So Dennis has nobly and bravely and kindly and benevolently stepped in.
You can't say that word in the morning.
Benevolently.
It doesn't help that you're drunk, too.
I'm not drunk, ass. So, cheers, coffee.
Cheers. Hey, you know what my tagline is? What? The coffee's good today, folks.
Coffee's good today, folks. Hold on.
It really is. Is that Death Wish?
Very good. Yeah, Death Wish coffee. Love them.
Nice.
They're not a sponsor, but they should be. So, the vibe is a little different because it's you and me, but this is a bonus episode. It's a bonus.
It's a bonus.
So you get what you get, gentle listener.
When you forget your microphone, you get a dentist. It's take your dentist to work day.
Is this a warning for Kathleen? Don't you ever forget your microphone again.
It would be
again.
Really funny if she like starts carrying a cardboard like cut out of me instead of a microphone.
Yeah.
Bring your dentist to work day.
This is like when someone like, you know, you hear like in a relationship, someone asks the other partner to do the dishes. And so they do the dishes poorly on purpose. So they never get asked to do the dishes again.
Should we talk about our relationship and how I enjoy doing the dishes and how I excel at it?
Okay.
Well, no, I want to just address this. Is that I actually enjoy doing the dishes, much like what we said in the first interview that you and I had together at my apartment on my podcast. I said I'm doing this for me, not for you.
Yeah. No, that's true. You do dishes and you tidy up, because my apartment is very different from your apartment, Dennis.
Your apartment is beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
I love the decor and I love what you do with it. And
I never
feel boxed in or cluttered or anything like that.
Never.
No, I really don't. That's true.
Okay, so one might describe your style as minimalism.
Mid-century modern minimalism.
Yeah, one might describe my style as Baroque maximalism.
Marie Antoinette level maximalism.
Yeah. If it's gilded, I want it.
Yeah.
If it's filigree, I want it.
Right.
If the mirror looks like the frame is growing out of itself and reaching for you.
And haunted.
Haunted and then dipped in gold. I think everyone can picture what that looks like. I want it.
You yourself could look dipped in gold. One would say you might be dipped in gold.
I once tried to wear bronzer.
Oh, God.
Everyone wears bronzer, you know, in the summer.
Yeah.
And I look dirty.
Yeah.
I looked dipped in gold and then dirty.
Right.
I can't wear bronzer.
No. People should.
Too pale.
Yeah.
Some people can wear it and they look put together. I wear it and I look like I rolled in mud.
I have an issue with it. Can we talk about my issue with it? Is that I've put it on sometimes and it smells
bronzer?
Really bad.
Are we thinking of the same bronzer?
It smells like dirt. It smells like I would buy the Neutrogena over the counter one.
Just to like make yourself look a little extra zhuzhed in the morning?
All right. I'm going to tell a really embarrassing story.
Please. And these are my favorite kind.
I feel really bad.
No,
I feel
don't.
Really bad about this.
You're good.
So my sister, when I was living at home.
Dina.
My sister Dina had bronzer.
Yeah.
And I wanted to look a little like I had a little bit more color before a band photo shoot. This was right before I moved to Manhattan.
Yeah.
So I used it. But I used it wrong, and like I put it on my face all wrong.
And even the way you're describing this, okay. As you listen, he took fingers from both hands and just smeared them down his cheeks,
like he's
dismayed with his life.
Yeah,
that's what he did. That's how you put on bronzer.
Exactly. That's what you do when you're in a band. You always have to look sad or angry in photos, and especially when you're putting on bronzer, you have to look really upset. So I was like, I was putting it on like moisturizer, not realizing you really have to get like an even tone. And I forgot to put it like on my hands.
Are you thinking of self-tanning lotion?
Self-tanning lotion.
That's what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does smell weird. So
it
you
smells really bad.
So what? How did that end up happening?
Okay, so that's technically not bronzer.
No, but continue your story and then we'll discuss the difference.
So this is how it ended up. I looked at myself, it started forming, and I was like, oh, God. So I like I tried to get it off, but it looked like I had like that skin problem. That like that people
have.
Oh,
vitiligo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I looked like that. Yeah. So I had to postpone. I was like, guys, can we postpone the photo shoot? I walk out of the bathroom and my sister's like, let me see your fucking hands. She doesn't say fucking, but this is like my, and I went like that. My hands. I was like, what? What? She was like, Dennis, you used my tanner? I was like, no.
Yeah.
And like my hands and my face. She was like, used it wrong.
It's the product that tells on you. It's awful.
It's like those things in the stores. Not that I've ever done this, but you know they explode on you,
or like those ink pockets.
Ink pockets.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an episode of Schitt's Creek where where David and Moira join an MLM, and it's called Allez-vous, and David they have a party for everyone in the city to come, in the town probably to come, and. David is handing out products and he's orange. He's fully orange.
And that's what the shit did.
Yeah.
Is that, am I allowed to curse on here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what the shit stuff did.
Yeah.
Is that it like it made me orange.
Yeah, that's another one I can't use. So the difference between self-tanner and bronzer is self-tanner is like a liquid that goes on and then cures and changes color and makes you look tan. Bronzer is a makeup and it's like it's like blush, but more neutral tone.
Okay.
So you're supposed to put it on and it's supposed to make you look kissed by the sun. And you put it like on your cheeks and like across your forehead, a little on your nose, right? So you look kissed by the sun. Maybe sometimes has a shimmer, like a light shimmer to it.
Yeah.
The problem is it looks amazing on people who have any amount of color to their skin. Like you could look great wearing bronzer. I can't because I've never found a shade of bronzer that is one step beyond pale because they most come in like tans and browns because sun-kissed, right? Can't, I look dirty.
You don't look kissed. You look violently made out with?
Yeah. Yeah. By the sun.
By the sun.
Yeah. 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 I look accosted by the sun.
Accosted
by
the sun.
I just have like brown streaks across my face.
Okay.
So Dennis, can we talk, about what happened last night? A quiet exchange that you and I had, a wordless exchange that you and I had.
Okay.
So we went to this event last night
Marymount College.
Marymount College. We're talking about a film that you made. Mm-hmm.
Death and Disco Fries, which can I plug it? It will be available. Is this going to be out on April 15th?
I believe this is coming out Monday, April 15th.
So today, Death and Disco Fries, my second short film, is available on YouTube, youtube.com/dcallo.
dcallo, C-A-H-L-O.
Only available on YouTube. I'm only making it available on YouTube. You can watch it, on your computer, on your TV. Because
Roku. Is it free or do I have to pay for it?
It's free.
Oh,
there might be
you.
An ad in there because
that's
I used
fine.
A song and they said you can use the song if we put an ad on it. And it was,
that's fine. That's
so,
fine.
So there's my plug. I'm not here to plug, but there's a plug.
Plug away.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we went to this event, and on the way home, it was pouring rain, and so you sprung for a car, which is so expensive in the city, but thank you for springing for a car.
I mean, look, you took me out for my birthday. Springing for a car is not.
So on the way home, it's Marymount College is what, on the Upper East Side?
Yeah, it's like the East 70s.
Yeah. And I don't often go to the Upper East Side because it's so far away.
Yeah.
And it's like a different state. And so I'm not used to the routes to go home in a car. And so at one point, our driver drives real far south and then heads to what looks like a dead end.
I forgot about this.
A dead end, which at the end is just a chain link fence and a lot of like moving containers, construction equipment, big like storage units that perhaps you would hide behind if being chased by someone in the mafia. And he slowed down as he got closer to the dead end portion, and I just reached over and took your hand because I thought,
this is it.
This is it. This is the moment that this, because gentle listener, this is exactly what it looks like in a film when two assassins take you to a quote unquote meeting and then to pick up some quote unquote money or give you a quote unquote promotion. Mm. And then seven more assassins come out from behind the moving units and then they pop you. They put a cap directly into your ass. And yeah. So I just reached over and I took your hand. And I'm like, this is it.
And I looked at you and was like, okay, in my mind, you went the assassin route. I went the total true crime route. And I was like, okay, so he's going to try to cut us up and put us in barrels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we're going to die tonight.
He's going to reach over, shoot me in the head first.
We're going to die tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, I don't even have a weapon. You know me. I love a weapon. I always have weapons. My house is filled with weapons.
Did you not have the little claw?
No, I don't have my claw.
You didn't have the claw
anything.
With you?
So I'm the Dwight Schrute of my house because, you know, Dwight Schrute had like a throwing star in the toilet and he has like all of these different things hidden like up in the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing. I had nothing. And I'm like, I can't defend us. I can't protect us. This is going to happen. I should always have a thing with me.
Always.
A bat. A stick. A mace. Mace you can't trust because you don't.
A mace. A giant mace.
Just one mace.
Just one mace.
not the spray kind. The medieval kind.
Yeah, the medieval mace. An actual mace, not, you know, that fucking pepper spray bullshit's not gonna
doesn't work. The
not
air
gonna
blows.
Be as effective as
no.
a fucking mace.
You know, it's hard about a mace. You have to swing it first, and that leaves your torso wide open.
Right.
You always wanna like punch from in so
yes.
that you don't have an open torso.
You know, but after so it's funny that we're so on the same page. That's how we know we're in a good relationship, and we're so on the same page that we both thought the same thing. Different scenarios.
Yeah.
Same thing. But then we eventually got on the West Side Highway.
Yeah. Then he merged left, and I was like, and then I loosened my grip on your hand.
Yeah.
Because it got tight. Yeah. So thank you, Sergey, for not killing us. But you know, maybe next time you bring someone to a super sketchy part of Manhattan, maybe like initiate a pleasant conversation.
Pleasant conversation would be nice.
You know, just like so that we know you're safe.
Listen, Uber drivers of the world.
This guy was a Lyft, by the way. Was Lyft. He Lyft or was he
no,
Uber?
No, Uber.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're all the same. They all have the. They
I know,
all work in the same network.
I was trying not to use Uber because they're a garbage company. But anyway.
So, I got distracted by Minerva, who's very cute and eating right
she's
now.
She's eating. We're in Kitchen Studio NYC, and she's eating in Cat Food Area NYC. Yeah.
So, Uber drivers of the world, Lyft drivers of the world, mm-hmm. if you are out there and you're driving down to the West Side Highway, maybe crack a joke and say, hey, just getting down the West Side Highway, I'm going to take it that way.
Yeah.
Not going to murder you.
Okay, but actually that would make me feel worse if they were like, not going to murder you.
Going to save that for later.
Yeah. I would just maybe be like, hey, how you doing, folks? It's creepy down here, right? Not going to murder you.
So question for you, would you jump out of a moving car?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd take the injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The problem is those pesky child locks. If they have those on, you are effed. And this is what you do. I learned this watching an episode of Oprah. You take a ballpoint pen. You must always have a ballpoint pen.
Do you have a ballpoint pen?
Nope.
Okay.
You take a ballpoint pen. You hold it at the base of the window, perpendicular to the window. Mm-hmm. You nod like you know what I'm about to say. Do you know this trick?
No.
Okay.
I'm just nodding in agreement.
Yeah. Hold it perpendicular, center of the window. And then you go, punch! And something about that angle in that area of the window supposedly smashes the window and you can get out. I learned that when Oprah did the episode on what happens if your car falls into a pond.
Okay.
I don't know if this actually works. And guess what? It's really too risky to try because now your window's crashed.
Or your Uber driver's window.
Your Uber driver's so mad.
Imagine you call an Uber just to test that out. Like, you're like, hold on, dude. Wait. I'm just going to try something.
Crash.
Or like you keep trying and it's just creating these little ballpoint holes.
And that's the thing. This was on Oprah years ago when cars were different. You know? This is back when you started them
when windows were dangerous.
Yeah, when windows were made of glass and not some sort of probably poly something amorphic cysteine.
I think
like
Uber's
bulletproof.
They've got a copyright on it. It's polyuberine.
Polyuberine. non ballpoint pen. crashing.
Can't break it. A ballpoint pen can't break it.
It's so I really. But that's and then so then the, whoever was on Oprah was like, so you should always carry something like straight and a little sharp with you at all times, so you can pop open. Because if your car careens off a bridge into a body of water, you only have until you hit the water to open your window.
Frightening.
Yeah. But you got to get that window open, because as soon as your car is submerged, your window won't open. Pressure. Pressure. Right. Pressure from an outside.
Right.
So much pressure.
Pressure.
Dun, 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 dun. You can't get your car window open. So do it while you're falling. Have the presence of mind as you're falling to open your car window so you can swim out.
Would you actually sing, you know, dun, 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 if like if
you,
you
know
were,
I would.
Just
I would
to
waste,
stay calm?
I would waste so much time.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
this is not
underwater.
The time to start singing Queen. Like and Bowie.
Like the water is slowly coming up in the car and I'm like, dun, 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 dun. Oh, shit. And it's too late. And I can't get the window open. I can't get the car door open. Too much pressure.
So all these survivalist things, they get me thinking about you and your dad who came to visit. And who? And
Papa
he is,
Watson?
Oh, man. He is 6'3".
Four.
6'4" of pure, genuine love.
Yeah,
the
he's
man,
a good one.
The man is so... Like, I just felt so comfortable around him, and
he
we felt so comfortable with each other. But when we were talking about the knives, his reaction very quietly was, good girl.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah, under his breath. He's like, good girl.
Oh,
like,
that's so nice.
So proud of you. And I know we're not supposed to use girl for women, but
no,
your
no,
dad
no, but it's
is,
my dad.
It's like, your dad.
He'll always that
right.
be my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was showing him all the knives I have hidden in my house.
Yeah, and he kind of mumbled under his breath, good girl.
Oh, cry. So
happy that you have, you know,
yeah,
knives.
Because he taught me how to punch, how to throw a punch. Because we had this, you know, when you grow up, there's always like friends of the family, and it's
right.
like the other kids you have to go hang out with because the parents are friends,
right?
And we had this family that there were a bunch of kids, and one of them was my age, and he was a dude, and he would always like slap my butt or like hit me or pinch me. Like now we would call the cops. Like
right,
that was
right.
Mildly,
but back then it was boys were boys.
Yeah,
this is what
so
boys do, because it's okay to assault a woman,
exactly.
a woman at a young age.
Yeah. And I was like chubby, so he was just making fun of me for being fat. Great. And we were like 10. So my dad, I would say like he keeps doing this, and my dad was like, punch him. And I
yes.
And I was like, and I said, what? I can't. No. And he was like, punch him. He's not going to learn unless you punch him. And so he taught me how to throw a punch. And so the next time we, all the families hung out, he started to do it again. And I threw a punch and it didn't connect, but he was shocked and he never did it again.
No.
And when we were the next day, so you weren't with us anymore, but we were walking down the street and we walked past a construction zone, and no one said a word to me in the construction zone.
Because your dad was there.
Because my dad was there. And I said, oh man, I feel much safer walking with you. And he said, why? And I said, oh, no one's been yelling at me. And he said, wait, people yell at you? I said, yeah Dad, every day.
Yeah.
And he got kind of quiet. So I think he, you know.
Well, here's the thing that I love that your dad did when you were younger, is that instead of him saying, I'm going to kick his ass, your dad was like, I'm going to teach you how to protect yourself.
You're going to kick his ass.
Because you can do it. You're allowed.
Totally.
And you have permission to do it. I think that's unintentionally, that's a very feminist attitude to have. And it's a wonderful attitude to have.
Yeah, it's not like you're not strong enough to do this, I'll save you. It's
right.
like, princess, save yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
you could be a princess and kick some ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Climb out that window yourself. Figure
right.
it out. You'll be good.
You'll be all right.
Yeah. So
like, that was great.
So so I have like all sorts of weapons in my house.
And he's very proud of you for
so
it.
Proud.
But we had a good day that day. That was a good time.
Fun.
We had a really good time. We went to the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Had you been? You'd been once in.
When I was a kid.
Little baby Dennis.
Little baby curly red-haired Dennis.
What's it? Redheaded?
I was redhead.
Shut up.
It was like auburn. It wasn't like ginger. Yeah, I'll show you a picture. It was like a bright, like auburn brown.
Was your hair as curly as it is now?
Super curly.
What the heck?
Yeah. Big and curly.
Oh,
I have a photo. I'll show you.
Excuse me. Coffee. Coffee's good today, folks.
Coffee's good today, folks. So good we're regurgitating.
Yeah.
It.
What did
did that gross you out?
Yeah.
Do we need to talk about bodily functions right now?
We should address it.
Should we? Have you addressed this with Kathleen?
She
on the show, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, the listeners know.
Wow, you're clamming up already. You look like, you know, when I don't know, what is an animal that goes into itself? Loki?
What are those little armadillos do that?
Yes.
I'm an armadillo.
Sea anemones?
Sea anemones.
Anemone. That's a very...
Anemone.
Anemone.
I don't like talking about bodily functions And I have been fine with that until I got into a relationship and a person shares a space with their partner, mm-hmm. albeit occasionally and on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to talk about it.
Was that your bodily functional alarm telling you not to talk about this?
It was just a gentle reminder. We don't talk about that. Danger zone. Honey, things are about to get a little blue.
You are hilarious because you giggle and turn red and put your face into your hands, yep. or into your arms, yep. and curl up like an armadillo.
Can't discuss it. Can't talk about it.
There's a few things you can't discuss.
Yeah, that. Okay, so, okay, what else can I not discuss?
I don't know if you might have to edit this out.
Edit. What is it?
Sexy stuff.
I can't talk about sex. I can talk about it in theory.
Is one of the cats pooping right now?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just said bodily. But see, with cats, you're
okay. It's fine.
Human being.
Here's what I can talk about in terms of, like, the human body.
All right.
I can talk about blood. I can talk about appendicitis.
Surgery.
Show me all the surgery. Hmm. If you burn yourself, show me the massive pus boil. I want to see it. Like, when I had to have abdominal surgery, you have those drains. Obsessed. Those drains are disgusting. I was sending pictures to my mom and my brother-in-law. They love it.
Are you one of those pimple people that
love a pimple?
Love to pop a pimple.
Love a pimple. Love a boil. Love a scar. I love it all. The second it gets to bodily functions involving the excretory system, vis-a-vis my own issues or your own issues,
I have none.
I can't handle it. I can't handle it. So the reason this came up is because we were eating this snack that apparently makes both of us very sick. And
we shouldn't say the name
of it. No, we shouldn't, because
they do like them.
They're great.
They're addictive.
They have tapioca starch in them, and I think that that's what makes us both very sick. Because I looked on the internet, and it said it's also good as a laxative. And so
that was like me with the moringa powder.
You had moringa powder. You were very ill.
Very ill. I lost 3 pounds in 2 days.
So we're both in just like a lot of pain. We're both very uncomfortable last night, but I couldn't say why. Mm-hmm. I couldn't vocalize why.
You're turning red right now.
I don't like to talk about it.
You're covering your eyes. You're smashing your eyes together, and you're turning like you are purple. You're actually purple. You're not even red. You're purple.
I don't want. And this is the kind of stuff that I would normally bring up with my therapist, but I don't know how to bring it up with my therapist because I don't want to talk about it. I don't even know how to bring it up.
Right. Yeah. It's funny because you're ashamed to bring up what you're ashamed of.
Yeah. I can't talk about it. I can't even bring up the topic. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're afraid of the color green, mm-hmm. and the word green makes you ill. How mm-hmm. do you talk about your fear of the word green? But right. Because saying green makes you ill.
So I wonder if any of the listeners out there have the same issue.
Yeah, I want to know. Shame. So much shame.
Like, do they have shame? Like, is there anyone out there that's carrying the shame that you can talk to?
So much
that
shame.
You can relate to?
Because I don't know what to do about it.
Or hear a story about.
Maybe you need to reach out to my therapist and tell her what my issue is.
Do you want
me
to send an email? A preliminary email?
Yeah.
Bridge the gap?
Yeah. And if you listener, I want to hear this. Call me. Leave a voicemail on our voicemail and like tell us how you got over your shame of the human body. 917-994-0353.
No, I don't know if we should we even traverse, is that the right word? Traverse the sexy stuff?
We can try.
I just want to tell people's reaction when like I'll say something that's mildly like not lewd.
No.
Just sexy.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say something about you or your body. And there it is.
I can't help it.
I'm going to let this roll.
I can't handle it. I don't know why I'm so.
And now, if a gentle listener, Bethany is turning purple.
I can't.
It's like, it's, yeah. Just laughing.
It's so gross.
It's not gross.
I know. I know. Oh, God. Someone did something awful in that litter box.
All right. Should we take a minute?
Yeah.
Let's pause for a second.
pause. I have to go clean
okay.
up.
Do you want me to pause it? You can pause
we'll
it.
Just, yes, hold on. We'll okay. let it roll. Hold on.
It's awful. Oh, God. It's every... Wait.
Did she poo everywhere?
Hold on.
Did she, did she have an accident?
No.
Oh no. Is it on her butt?
Hold on.
This is what happens. So okay, so there are long hairs, so sometimes the fecal matter gets caught in the hair. Ugh. And Bethany will have to cut it out, or I will have to pull it out with a comb. So these are the things that you have to deal with when you have long haired cats. They are Persian, so they're very cute, but they are a lot of upkeep.
Oh,
one thing that one thing that Bethany is experiencing now is that all of, I'm sure you guys know, and I've heard this on the show, is that the groomers have ghosted her because the cats are awful when they're getting groomed. So if there's anyone out there that knows grooming tips for Persians, please leave a voicemail at 917-994-0353, 917-994-0353, and leave your Persian grooming tips for us, so we don't have to deal with cutting poop out of their butt.
Dennis, you've had migraines.
Oh, yeah.
They're bad.
Horrible.
Yeah. So anybody who has had a migraine knows that they're awful, and sometimes the last thing you want to do is drive to the doctor, because it's migraine time, and the sun hurts, and the car sound hurts.
Yeah.
And the light hurts.
And I don't drive, so I would have to walk or,
yes.
or bike.
Yeah.
And you don't want to bike when you have a migraine.
No.
In fact, no one should bike when they have a migraine.
No. That is why we have partnered with Cove. Cove is on a mission to make migraines less of a headache. So it's a website that links you directly to a doctor from home, so you can treat and defeat migraines at your own convenience. One of the best things about Cove is that they start out with a simple consultation from a licensed physician, a physician who is licensed to practice medicine in your state, and they will be the one who prescribes your monthly medication and oversees your progress.
And the cool thing too is that it's personalized. So after your consultation, your doctor creates and tailors your individual course of treatment, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And then Cove reaches out a few weeks after to see how you're feeling.
Yeah, they check in on you.
That's really sweet. They're, it's like having a friend.
Yeah, it's like having a friend who actually cares how your migraine is.
Right.
Unlike Susan, who's like, how's your migraine, but more about my breakup. And you're like, Susan, I'm having a migraine.
Yeah, my friend Susan does that all the time.
She's the worst for you. And then they don't just leave you there. Cove breaks down everything you need to know. They educate you about migraines and your migraine treatment. And again, you are supervised by a doctor, and all of the medication that they prescribe is FDA approved medication. It's not a one size fits all treatment plan. Everything Cove does is tailored to you, the patient, to make sure that they can help you as much as possible get control over your migraines. And then they're going to talk about Susan. So if you suffer from migraines, the last thing you need is to have to wait to see your doctor. With Cove, there's finally a way to get the help you need when you need it. And when you use our special link, you're going to get your first month of treatment for free. So go to withcove.com/taste. That's WITHCOVE, V as in Victor, .com/TASTE. Lots of spelling. One more time, withcove.com/taste.
Get it together, Susan.
Get it together, Susan. We're
okay.
back.
We're back. So back to your issues with sexy stuff. You're even, see, you can't.
We can have, we, we.
Does everyone know this side of you?
I think they've all intuited it.
You think people have just read your
being? I think
your
people
being?
Can tell. I think the listeners know me well enough that they just have a feeling.
I'm fascinated with it, because you do turn, you, that's like, I feel like that's your Midwestern that comes out.
And it's not, I don't know why, it's not that we, okay, mom, turn this off.
Yeah.
It's, mom, turn it off. It's because
I
know
she turned
her.
It up.
No, she turned it, yeah, I okay. know her. And she's like, ooh. So it's not that we don't have, we have sex.
You can't even say it.
We have sex. It's, yeah. Yep.
In the Midwest?
No, you and I, they have sex in the Midwest. You and I have, yes. Great. It's just the discussing of it that I just don't like.
We have fantastic sex.
I can't talk. I don't want, mom, turn it off.
We have.
No, no more. Not because I'm shamed, but I don't want my mom to hear
okay.
that.
Okay.
Too much, mom, too much. So, would you say, Dennis?
Yeah.
This is a good. I mean, this is now that I have you. Hmm. This is a good time in the relationship, in the moment.
To break up?
No, God. What is your problem?
I don't know.
Jesus.
I thought you were going to do it on the air.
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you have any issues that we need to air out? Is there anything that you know, like?
Well, we've talked about the one issue that I had where I went down my spiral. Mm. We should talk about this because
you had another one the other day.
I think it's good to talk about my own insecurities.
Yeah, you're a mess.
I'm a mess.
I'm a fucking mess. Yeah, no. Between the two of us, it's just a seesaw of mess.
Right. But it works.
Yeah, no, it's because
we truly like are on the same page. We truly support each other.
Yeah.
We love each other. We're about to make a movie together.
We are.
Yeah.
It's gonna be
a very good movie.
Very excited.
It's very exciting.
We will keep you all updated because this is. I'm really psyched about this.
I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
But I also think it's important for men to be open.
Yeah.
About their insecurities and not feel like they're less of a man.
Totally.
Because I think that's bullshit. I think you're more of a man when you can face these things and not squelch them down and murder your whole family.
Right. Please don't murder your family.
That's most of this shit happens because they're pushing shit down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But we've also decided that men aren't allowed to have feelings. And so even if men want to say, I'm feeling insecure, they may not feel okay doing it. I don't know. I don't want to talk for you, but my guess is.
No, you're right.
Don't feel safe doing it with their friends. Don't feel like they can go to a therapist because that's not manly. Like,
yeah. And here's the thing is that I have dated women who have said, oh, you cry?
Oh, like gosh. That's awful.
Yeah. Like I'll be like, yeah, that movie really makes me cry. And they're like, you cry?
Oh, gosh.
Like, and in a shameful way. Oh. So it goes both ways. Like, men shame men for having feelings. Women shame men for having... I'm not saying it's, like, so hard being a dude. Like, women have vast majority of more issues that... greater issues that we have to deal with. But men also do suffer from body shaming. We suffer from, we suffer from shaming of feelings. So
you get ripped on, not you specifically, but, like... The whole penis size thing, I feel awful for dudes because that's you can't do anything about it. Like,
right.
you're the size is the size. And, like, I know guys who have been laughed at.
Yeah.
Like, they've just straight up been honest and told me. And that's awful. Like, in your most vulnerable moment when you're with somebody and then they laugh at you, that's awful.
Right. Right.
I can't even imagine.
And the worst thing, okay, so the worst thing that was always said to me, because then I felt like, what's wrong with that, was when a woman would say, God, you're like a woman. And I'm like,
that's so messed up,
like,
for
being
so many
with,
reasons.
Like, your bestie?
Like, there's so many things wrong with that, I can't even start.
But women do say that to
for
men.
For sure.
And I think it's, frankly, it's bullshit. But I've never been ashamed of being, I'm like, well, I'm still going
to
emote. Like,
yeah,
you're
going to
have to fucking deal with it because I'm not going to keep this in.
Yeah.
Or else I'll be a fucking powder keg.
Yeah.
You know? So... In my past relationships, what has happened is that I've been in relationships where everything's going great. Like, this is such a pattern in my relationships. Everything's going great, and usually this is right after a major event like meeting a parent.
Okay.
The woman will completely just disappear.
And like, she'll ghost you.
She'll ghost. And I'll be like, is everything okay? No answer. Hey, I don't know what's going on. Can you just let me know what's up? Just working on some stuff. Don't worry about it.
And this isn't you've dated a couple times. This is you are in a relationship.
Full on, met the parents, met a parent. A big event has happened, and then suddenly something snaps in the woman, and they no longer want to be with me.
Ooh.
I don't know if it's like a fear of getting that close. I don't know if it's like, oh my God, my parents like this guy. I can't like this guy. I don't know if that's a thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the workings of the female mind. However,
none of us do.
Right. So... I have always lived in fear, and that's why I was alone for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, my last relationship, I will say she did not do that.
Yeah.
The closer we got, you know, it was fine. But the relationships before, it instilled something in my mind that this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is the pattern. This is what women do. Now, you happen to be very, very, like, extremely busy.
Yeah. I have a project that's, we've been hurry up and waiting for like a year.
Yeah.
And now
it's go time.
Everything's got to happen now. It's go time. It's go time.
And it is on the other coast.
Mm-hmm.
It is in Los Angeles. It's in the other coast of this fair country of ours. So you did say This was Monday. The night before, you had said, hey, I'm really busy. I'm going to be really busy tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Something to that nature. It was a very...
Yeah, and I listed. I was like, I have a bunch of script revisions. I have to do my taxes. You know, I have to... There were like seven other things.
So here's the thing is that Bethany and I have a rule that I don't open my email or my phone except for Bethany. At 7 a.m. I will check, and there's usually a message from her because Bethany's up freakishly early.
Gotta get stuff done,
which is good. And you know what? I'm not gonna shame you for that.
I know. I like
you're up early because you have to do stuff.
Stuff to do.
So at 6 a.m. if you work between 6 and 11, most of your work is done by 11.
Yeah,
you can start podcasting and editing.
Yeah,
and all that stuff.
Totally.
So I woke up and there wasn't a text. And this was right after the weekend that we had with your dad. It was right after my birthday weekend, and I was like, oh. So, like, a pattern that I was used to was broken.
Oh, dear.
And like, suddenly it was 7 a.m., and there was no text from Bethany. So, I was like, immediately, she's pulling away. Hold on.
No, this isn't you.
Okay, so this is not you. This is me. This is my bullshit.
I have empathy, and I feel bad.
I know. So, I waited, and there was still no text by, like, 11. And now I'm starting to get really worried. I'm like, I think she's pulling away. So, I think I texted you... I don't know what it was about. It wasn't an excuse text. It was an actual text like, hey, I need to know about something.
Yeah, you needed some information about something.
And I wrote a long paragraph that was like, if I'm bothering you, let me know. Please just let me know.
Yeah.
Hey, da-da-da. Quick one-sentence answer.
Yeah.
Now I'm fucking freaking out. Now I'm like, that was one sentence. She didn't say she missed me. She didn't say she loved me, which she usually does.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to freak out.
Yeah.
Now I'm having like full on, okay, here's how I'll plan this breakup out. we're going to get the movie done. We're going to get all these things done. I'm going to work. I'm going to figure this out.
You said something about the cats.
I said, I was like, I'm going to ask her if I could see the cats one more time.
Oh God, that's so sad.
Because I love them.
That's so sad.
But this is what goes through my mind. And I'm not afraid. I'm really not afraid to admit it. Because
no, I'm so no,
yeah,
of course not.
This is what guys need to start admitting if they go through it.
Yeah.
And I was really downward spiraling. And it kept, and I remember I texted you again.
Because you needed an email address.
I needed an email address for your co-star in our film. And I was like, look, please, like, can you please let me know if, like, I'm bothering you? Like, because now at this point, I'm like, I'm pushing her away further, but I need information to get the scheduling done because this was on my to-do list.
And I just sent the email address.
You just sent the email address, and now that was it. We were like, I was like, this is it. We're done.
That's awful.
And I sent you a fucking paragraph of, like, please let me know. Once you sent just the email, I was like, she just let me know in that one sentence, she doesn't want to be with me anymore.
So this is, may I?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this is, from my perspective, part of the thing that I had to do is I had to rewrite a script, and I had to cut it down, and I had all of these notes that I had to go through, all of the notes, and they were like addressing all these different characters and like, we need you to be clearer about this, and can you maybe do this and do this? So I was really overwhelmed, and I got up at 6 and I got into my office and I got into this amazing zone. It's like the focused version of a runner's high. And it's so hard to get nowadays because the phone is going off and the emails are going off and blah, blah, blah. And like, I had it and I caught that wave of focus and things were just flowing and it was feeling great. And I was like, oh my God, this is like so good. This is all happening. And so when you sent a text, I saw it and you were like, please let me know if I'm bothering you, if blah, blah, blah. And I was like, he's not bothering me, so I'm not going to let him know.
You said that in your mind.
In my head.
But not in
over text.
I was
like, right. But like in that focus, I was like, no, okay, let me know if not gonna, you know, it's not happening, so I won't let him know. So like, blah, 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 the information back to focus, like getting stuff done, check. And then you were like, can I have an email? And I was like, here's that email, ding. And I'm like, happy, everything's going well. And you are over here going,
if there was a split screen of that scenario,
down. And I'm like, getting so many things done, and the script is all together, and I cut out a page, and this is all awesome, and check. Cross off, and you're like,
and I'm on my new Joybird couch, in the fetal position, just sobbing and mapping out.
Check. Right. Everything is great, and Dennis is probably fine. And beep 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 beep. So when I saw you the next day or that same day?
No, we didn't see each other.
We didn't see, so it was like the next day
this
I saw
you. This was
like
a few days in between.
You told me what you had gone through and I had no idea and
right.
I felt awful.
Right.
And I am so glad you told me because I had, like, I didn't fully internalize what had happened to you all. Like, I knew that those different relationships had ended kind of in a similar way, but I didn't realize that it had been like a trauma.
It was three in a row.
Oh, that, honey. That happened That.
It was boom, 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 one, two, three, all the same way.
Yeah. So I didn't fully realize, like, how really devastating and like internalized that had become for you. And so when you told me, it all clicked, and it's like the end of a movie where you review all the scenes that had happened before that prove that something that you missed just happened. And I was like,
right.
Oh God. And we were like in front of H&R Block and I just like gave you this big hug and I felt so terrible. So you met my dad. He loves you. My mom and stepdad already love you.
Right.
Things are good.
Things are great.
I'm not breaking up with you.
Here's the thing is that, and I will say this to anyone who's in a relationship where they're like, you don't know where the guy is at, or like, it's okay to communicate this to your partner.
Yeah.
And if your partner, you know, says, oh, they're working some stuff out, you got to pull it out of them. You have to communicate.
Yeah.
Like, it's important. But for you, Bethany, in our relationship, like, it is not your job to fix me.
No, I know.
You know, and it's like, you don't have to feel bad. We have discussed it. And I'm like, here is what I need for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't trust you. I just have that when you're dealing with trauma like that in a relationship, you know, after three in a row like that, you're kind of conditioned to feel like, you think you see a pattern,
yep.
Even though it's not a real pattern within the relationship. So you, thank God, as a partner, is patient with me to say, okay, I'm going to give you what you need now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say over text, hey, everything's fine.
Yeah.
I'm busy, you know, and here's a one word. And that won't be forever. It'll be until, like, I feel somewhat comfortable, like the patience that we have with each other to work through things that the other person is going through. I feel like that's important in a relationship, and thank you for giving me that.
Because now
I won't be crying on my couch.
Oh, it's a great couch, by the way.
It's a nice couch, Joybird.
It's
which you are sponsored.
They are
a sponsor,
but you bought it yourself.
I bought it myself.
Yeah.
With no discount from
an
Acquired Taste. But no,
really,
I forgot to use the code.
You should have used the code. It helps the podcast, but that's fine.
Sorry. See,
it's a great podcast.
Not a very supportive boyfriend.
No, but I'm really happy that you were so honest, because otherwise it's like these things get pushed down and pushed down and pushed down, and all of a sudden you shut down in the relationship.
Yeah.
Like, one thing that I was talking with my therapist about is that I didn't realize that I had so many past hurts that were being sort of pinged and like triggered in this relationship until I got into this relationship. And I never would have known that I had them until I got into another relationship. And, you know, you always hear like, you have to love yourself and be perfect and be great with you before you can get into a relationship. And I was like, I don't think that that's true.
I think that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah. And my therapist said, yeah, relationships get a bad rap. Sometimes you cannot heal past traumas without another relationship to help you through them. And hopefully it's a healthy one so you can get through those. Like, I have them too. And you and I are working really hard on them. Like, I had an ex who was very grabby, and he would just grab me whether I wanted to be grabbed or not.
Right.
And so sometimes if I'm touched, I like pull in, I jump, and then, you know, like random dudes on the street touch me too, and so
that's fucking unacceptable.
Yeah, so I have a thing about being touched, and so every once in a while I will still pull in, and we've had to talk about that, like, it's not you, it's like I'm working on this, all of this past stuff. So relationships can be super, super healing.
Yeah,
which I didn't realize.
As long as your partner, and this is something to look for in a partner, as long as your partner is patient, and willing to work with you through those things.
Yeah,
most of my partners would get frustrated, and be like, "Oh God!" Whereas you're like, "Oh wait, no, okay, I'm gonna do that for you while you work through this." You're not encouraging it. You're not encouraging the behavior further, but you are saying, "I will give you what you need." it's almost like, I'll give you what you need as long as you're on the way to healing.
Yeah, like,
as long as
yeah.
I know you're on the way to healing and that you are working on this, yes. I am going to give you what you need to get further so totally. You are better. And at some point, I'll know that you're just busy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, and you'll trust
point,
it.
But we're so early on in the relationship that yeah. I'm like, at some point, you know, if this is happening 2 years down the road, we have a problem.
No,
like,
then we go to therapy again.
Then then I need to go. I need to really work on it. But if, you know, if now I know.
Yeah.
If she just sends an email, she's busy and happy and working and thinking I'm happy. And it's great that you, what's great is that you have the faith in me that I'm a confident human being and that I can, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to babysit me.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to have to babysit me.
Right.
But just, you know.
I don't want to babysit you because I'm awful. The last time I babysat someone, she ended up bleeding on the head. She had a head. I never got hired again.
I wouldn't hire you.
No, I wouldn't have hired me in the first place.
No. But so if you so, but the bottom line is that if you are in a relationship, male or female, but especially to the guys out there,
yeah.
it's totally okay to be. It's totally okay to admit something. You
yes.
don't have to sit there and be the man.
Yeah.
What is being a man, right? Being a man to me is taking responsibility, and you have to take responsibility for your actions, your emotions, for everything that you're feeling. And if you are a woman out there, it's okay to. It's okay if your guy does that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to be the you know, the image of like a man that we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I kind of love The Rock. I know yeah. this is weird, but he really is like, he has pictures of him with his baby.
Yeah.
He's like such a sweet man who embodies like this masculine quote unquote that we all think a man is, quote
yeah.
unquote.
Yeah.
But he's so sweet and sensitive and loves his wife and like is such a good man. You know?
Hopefully,
and,
yeah.
And,
from what we see.
From
yeah,
what we see.
Yeah.
And I feel like he would cry at a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like he would admit to it.
Totally.
And, you know, I think it's good that we're going in that direction.
Yeah.
And that it's okay for more men to feel that way.
Yeah, yeah. I think so, too. And I think that more people who are dating men, I think that it's good to promote and encourage that moment of like honesty and sensitivity
right.
and vice versa.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I am glad that you were able to be honest with me, and I will. I will definitely text you from now on. Because
no,
I'm like,
not,
that.
For right now. For right now.
Yeah, for right now.
And honestly, we got through this hurdle. I'm very good at like once we get past one hurdle, I'm like,
yeah.
oh, wait, no, everything's okay. Like,
yeah.
unless you tell me that
yeah.
things aren't okay.
Well, yeah. And I also, I'm actually glad that this happened. I'm glad that I didn't text back what you needed because
right.
it forced you to learn that. This is good. Like
right.
you didn't get coddled in that moment, and
yeah.
so you felt the fear, and then you were like, "And yet we're okay." So I feel like the lesson, and I feel like the message to your psyche is actually stronger,
so much stronger,
because you went through that and came
right.
back out.
It's
yeah.
like exercise, right? Like you
yeah.
like we were talking about running,
yeah,
and how when you're running, you have to get past this point of pain and like just horrid feeling.
Yeah, you have to like
and
break the muscle
right.
or break whatever.
Right.
Yeah,
so that wall kind of got broken down for
yeah.
me, and now I'm like, wait a minute, okay, I went through that fear, and it was all self-imposed. It was all the stories. And as a storyteller, as a director, as a writer, I'm good at making things up.
Oh, yeah.
So, but you're really good at making things up that might be going on in your head, too.
Fully.
That's not actually happening in the world.
Yeah.
That's part of having an imagination. Sometimes
yeah.
it works against us.
Totally.
But in this case, now I kind of understand
mm-hmm.
what is happening
yeah.
in that moment. And I can now recognize and go, Bethany's busy.
Yeah.
Leave her alone. Next time you see her, we're going to be like, have the best time.
Yeah. And
but it's funny because you do look back at the text you sent me and you're like, oh yeah, I was being really like one word.
Oh, it's definitely, it shows why texting is so dangerous, because I absolutely thought that I was like sending a happy text. And then you read it from the other person's perspective, knowing their state of mind. And you're like, oh, that absolutely could also look like I was being very short. And
yeah.
I was reading your texts, these paragraph of texts, as you were like in a good place and you were excited. And you were like, hey, babe, let me know if I'm bugging you. But like, here's the things I need. And of course, you're just like, honey, let me know if I'm bugging you. I need these things.
You know, it's a fun game to play if you're in a relationship. How I wrote the text, how I read the text.
Yeah.
Sit down with your partner
uh-huh.
and look at text. And this is a fun way to be like, oh, so this is what was going through your mind, and this is what was going through my mind. So if you, like how you were reading my text was, hey, hun, if I'm bothering you, just let me know in my happy dentist voice.
Yeah, just like spinning your beanie with the propeller on top, like, hey, life's
I'm so
fun.
Happy.
Everything's good.
Right.
Beep, bop, a doop.
But no.
But
so
no.
So then I read it for me. It's like, honey, if I'm bothering you, please let me know. I just got. And that's
the way
I wrote
I'm
it.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, I have to go to the bathroom. Hold on.
Okay. Okay, so Loki's staring at me right now. He's winking. Loki and I we've grown together. We are now buddies. He really is warm. He's warmed up to me. Not only has he warmed up to me, but he sleeps with me. He makes biscuits on me. I really think that we have grown, you know, as a good, like, you know, adopted father and son. Oh, and to the listener out there, I want to address one listener in particular. Someone anonymously sent me the best cat dad ever shirt.
Yes!
And I want to thank you out there, whoever it was. I love it. I'm going to wear it, and I'm going to take pictures of it. And please, if you can, DM me on Instagram. It's at Dennis Callow. I will try to find your DM because sometimes it goes to the non-followers inbox. And I will tag you in the post, and I will post it because I thought it was very sweet.
Sorry.
Are you okay?
I tripped on a water dish.
It's a great shirt.
It's wonderful. And thank you so much to the listener out there who gave it to me.
We have the best listener.
You got
so kind.
I'm so, like, if there's one thing that I would love to have is a listenership like yours. So anything that we need to go over in the news, anything happening? Because you and Kathleen are very topical. I don't want to take that away from.
No. This is like a bonus episode.
Bonus.
This is just a bonus check-in.
Yeah.
Plug your stuff. Where can people follow you, Dennis? Where can people find you?
Okay, so you can find me. Well, if I have a podcast called The Carrie Allen Picture Show. It is filmmaker centric. So
yeah.
I do talk about. I talk to filmmakers. I talk to actors. I talk to musicians. I talk to anyone who's where movies have affected their lives. But one thing that I will say about the show is, even if you're not into movies, the interviews are very humanistic. So we go into a person's life.
Yeah.
And that's what's beautiful about it, is that we talk about their lives and then how movies helped them or you know, encouraged their imagination or brought them out of a tough time.
Yeah.
Their relationship to their families and movies. So much of it has to do with, like, yeah, my family and I were sitting around the TV and we opened up the VHS clamshell and we'd watch, like, The Little Mermaid or Titanic. That's a huge movie that everyone always talks about on the show, is Titanic.
Yeah.
That seems to be the one that brought everyone together as a family.
It was like a big cultural moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really encourage everyone, like, yes, it's a film podcast, but yes, it's also a very human podcast where you can learn and about new people and new actors and new filmmakers who are all going to do stuff.
A good episode. First, it's where you and I met is on your podcast.
That it's almost up to it's like 8,000
so
plays.
Yeah, you
already.
Can hear our first conversation ever where we didn't know we liked each other.
And the funniest thing is, I was like, "Oh, you have radio experience?"
And I was like, "Yeah, a little bit."
My God.
But the other one is Christopher. How do we pronounce?
Orangio.
Orangio. This is a human that you are going to fall in love with, and his interview is really charming. He's such a sweet man,
and he's a wonderful actor.
He is such a talented actor, just so natural, and. So Christopher Orangio,
and it really comes across on his episode. There's
that's
a whole bunch of, like, every person that's been on the show, it just has really it's been a wonderful experience. I've been doing it for a year now, and I love it. I just love sitting across from someone and having a conversation. And
that's awesome.
So there's that. That's the Carrie Allen Picture Show. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like it, you could subscribe. You could write a message. Dennis Callow on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
DennisCallow.com. is my photography website, and CarrieAllenProductions.com is my film website where all my video stuff is.
You are a very talented photographer and videographer.
Thank you.
If you need a photographer or videographer, reach out to Dennis.
I'm your man.
He is very good.
Yes, I'm your man.
You can follow me on Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson, on Twitter, Radio Bethany. Dennis, how can people find this podcast on Twitter?
On Twitter, you can find at an acquired taste at acquired podcast.
On Instagram, at acquired taste podcast.
On Facebook, facebook.com/acquired taste podcast.
Shoot us an electronic mail, an acquired taste podcast at gmail.com.
Or if you want to do snail mail, it's an acquired taste podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Again, you can leave us a voicemail about, you know, grooming tips, body function tips, or just anything that you think of. And lastly, rate, review, and subscribe, especially on iTunes.
Oh, you gotta say the number.
Oh, 917-994-0353. Yes, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. 5 stars is the best. It really helps push us up in the rankings. You know, we read the comments and we feel great at the nice ones, and we definitely cry at the bad ones. Lastly, this is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Thanks for coming into this bonus episode. Kathleen, we miss you. I hope you're having fun on your vacation.
I miss you, my other significant other.
Those two love you guys. That's weird. Those two love each other a lot, which is fine because you know what? Neil, what's up, Neil? You're looking hotter and hotter.
He's your other significant other.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to marry that man.
And to all the taste buds out there, thanks for having me on the show today. Yeah. I really appreciate it being here.
I love you.
I love you too. Sex.
Oh, God.